Welcome. Reggie Bika joins us today. He's the Executive Director of the Colorado Department of Human Services and the former Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, or DCF. Under his leadership and that of then-Governor Jim Doyle, DCF launched KidStat in 2009, a performance leadership strategy that has applicability for social service organizations around the nation at the state and local levels. In a nutshell, KidStat involves monthly meetings, about an hour and a half or 2 hours long, with each of the department's four divisions, so in total, one KidStat meeting per week. The secretary leads the meetings, which are largely question-driven. In other words, the secretary asks questions of the division's leadership about performance challenges and opportunities within that division, including causes, constraints, actions taken, and strategies to improve. There's also lots of data, with performance metrics shown on a screen in front of the room, and each meeting starts with the follow-up items from the previous meeting. The discussion is direct, but it's also cordial, showing that a data-informed CityStat-type initiative is compatible with the social services environment. I started off our discussion by asking Reggie Bika about how he described the main benefit of KidStat to him as the agency leader when he was the secretary in Wisconsin.
The number one thing for me, I think, it was alignment. That as the secretary of the department, or even in my current role as executive director, I am worried about, do I have the right staff with the right resources delivering the right programs at the right time to the right people that's going to help our state achieve what it is that I've been assigned by the legislature and the governor to achieve? And what KidStat provided me was that sense of alignment. We could track and did track what were the key priorities around child safety for kids in the child welfare system, utilization of making sure that child care in Wisconsin was safe by tracking child care workers getting out and doing licensing visits in the right way and in the right time, how the Bureau of Milwaukee Child Welfare was performing, all of the different areas that we measured, whether folks were getting jobs in the W-2 program, and the alignment of knowing that I was looking at the same data that my bureau directors were looking at, and they were looking at the same data that their supervisors were looking at, and we could track it down literally to a child care licensor in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, on their caseload and what they were looking at, and that we were all at the same time looking at the same data and using it in our respective roles to move our system forward was the greatest benefit to me. And I think as I talked to direct practice workers and throughout the organization, they saw that alignment as well. They could see if we were struggling to get out to timely visits across the state, and we could measure that that part of the reason we were struggling getting to the timely visits was our caseloads were too high. And when they saw that I was then as committed to those timely visits, that I was taking our limited resources to add more staff to our pool, they were reinvigorated to say, wow, he really does care about this. I'm going to work harder and hold myself accountable to getting visits done. It was that sort of alignment throughout the organization that I found most beneficial and really affirmed that we as an organization were all rowing in the same direction to better serve kids.
Reggie, folks listening to this podcast who are leaders of public agencies and hear about KidStat may say, I already have regular meetings with my senior staff, whether it's check-in meetings every few weeks or periodic senior staff meetings where we talk about performance and any hot topics. How do you describe the difference between the KidStat process and a more traditional management check-in meeting?
I think any successful organization, to be successful, particularly for the long haul, and this applies to government, private sector, for-profit, not-for-profit, faith-based, any organization needs to balance three factors. One is relationships, how you interact both internally and externally, how you communicate, share information, build trust, all of those things around relationships. The second piece of that is process, how you do the work that you do. Is it done on time, comprehensively, cost-effectively, ethically, within policy, laws? Is it auditable? All of the process associated with getting things done. And then third is outcomes. Are people, in our case in human services, are people getting better as a result of their interactions with our agency? Any organization, if you don't balance all three of those, can limp along for a while, but you cannot be successful for the long haul. So then let's take that to KidStat. What a STAT program allows us to do is gives us a platform with which we can really focus on the outcomes of our organization. That's very different from a more traditional, which I used to do as a supervisor and as an executive, and we did at the Department of Children and Families, meetings that we called status meetings, where I'm sitting down and we're talking about the process of the organization. Are you hiring your people? How's your budget coming along? When's the next audit due? What's the policy question or challenge? You still need to have those conversations, but they're very different from what are our outcomes? How are we delivering the results of the people that we serve? So when we were at the Department of Children and Families, we had both kinds of meetings. We had regular status meetings every other week to make sure we were getting the process of our organization done. But we also then had the monthly STAT meetings where we were looking purely at the outcomes and asking ourselves how we were delivering, what was going well, what wasn't going well, what we need to do to build on our successes and what we need to do to change quickly to improve our outcomes where we could.
Some STAT initiatives around the nation are led by a deputy to the agency leader or to the elected official, and others are led by the leader herself or himself. I'm sure that partly depends on how many STAT meetings there are per week and what the agency leader feels is feasible. But tell us in your words about the leader's role in an initiative like KidStat and why you decided to lead the meetings yourself.
To me, it's critical to have the leader there to own it and to manage it. I don't often use military analogies, but it's like the general leading the troops into war. The outcomes, who we are as an organization, what our mission is what the STAT program, in our case KidStat, was about measuring. And for me, we dedicated a room to become the KidStat room. I personally attended, I think in the 2.5 years we met, each division in our organization had a meeting once a month. And so there were 4 divisions, so every week we had another KidStat meeting. And I think in a 2.5 year period of time, I missed 2 or 3 total KidStat meetings. It was that important. And the folks that that reported to me knew it was that important. And they could see in a very real way that I knew about and cared about who we served and how we were serving them and whether they were getting the delivery of service that was expected across the state, because I was sitting in the meetings, I was on top of the data, I was asking the questions, I was holding them accountable, and I was holding myself accountable. Again, in the example I used before, when we didn't have enough resources in an area, whether they be staff resources or other areas, that we were able to identify by drilling down and using the data, we could verify was a cause of our ability to deliver the outcomes we needed to get. My staff could see that I was willing to go champion to find the resources to make that investment that was going to deliver those sort of outcomes. When we had policy barriers that were getting in the way, they could see that I was leading the charge to eliminate those barriers to help us deliver better outcomes. I also had my entire executive team there because I wanted to make sure that if the problem was our computer systems weren't working properly, or our problem was we were having human resources issues, not getting people hired fast enough, as an example, I didn't want us to wait 2 or 3 months to then go talk to the HR person or then go talk to the IT person to find out what they could do about it. I wanted to look immediately at that meeting to my HR director and say, well, how long is it? Where are we at with hiring these personnel? I wanted to be able to look at the IT director and hear from them about what they could do to improve the computer system to help us achieve the outcomes. And I found that to be exceptionally useful. And also, again, back to the alignment issue, made sure that our administrative folks were in alignment with the mission of the organization in ways that I had not experienced in other organizations I've been in.
Tell us, Reggie, in our remaining minute or two, what was the origin of this data-driven approach?
Governor Doyle proposed creating the Department of Children and Families, and I was so honored to be selected as the first secretary of the agency. If Governor Doyle told me once, he told me 100 times, I did not create a new state agency so that we could move boxes of state government around but keep doing the same things. He expected that this new department would refocus, retool, and reprioritize the way that we served children and families in the state that would better help families get better outcomes for their kids and better outcomes for their families. Well, the only way I could know whether or not we were hitting the mark was to use data to help us figure out, A, what those outcomes were that we were trying to help families achieve, and B, to know in real time whether or not we were following through on our commitment of reprioritizing, retooling state government to help deliver on those outcomes. You know, Andy, one other thing I'd like to add, and I think is a testament to the success of STAT programs. We created KidStat back in the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, and we tried doing it in such a way that we could institutionalize it because we thought it was the right way to best meet the needs of children in Wisconsin. And a lot of things have changed due to a change of administration, a change of political party in Wisconsin. But one of the things, important elements that has sustained is the KidStat program and the commitment to the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families to use KidStat to hold itself accountable. And I'm really gratified by that we were able to create something that made a difference to kids in the short term and continues to make a difference to kids in Wisconsin today, even under a new administration, a new political party. KidStat continues.
My thanks to Reggie Bica for sharing his very useful insights that I know will be of interest to those in social services and beyond. I had the chance when I was working in Wisconsin to sit in on several KidStat meetings myself and was very impressed. You can read about the STAT initiative that he launched in his new role as head of Colorado's Department of Human Services. I'll post a link to the blog. Thank you to Reggie Bica, and thank you to our listeners for joining us.